Welcome to Manager Tools. Trinity Pushback, one-on-ones, why weekly,
part one.
This cast answers these questions. What do I do if directs want to have O3s less often? Why should I insist on weekly O3s? Should I agree to monthly O3s? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
Hey folks, this is Mark. We are recording this in May, and we're starting to get a lot of client requests for on-site training. And so what that will probably mean is we'll be adding more public training as well. So for those of you who don't know, we deliver our Effective Manager course, our Effective Communicator course, our Effective Hiring Manager course, all three in person, both in public. We schedule those, announce them on the website. We announce them here quite frequently. And then also clients. If you're a director or above, or you know somebody in HR and you think our stuff might be good, reach out to us. Otherwise, consider coming to a public conference. It will be the best management training you ever attend, or we'll give you your money back.
Mark, the question of weekly O3s and pushback from directs has come up in the last 16 years, has come up quite frequently. And before we start, I've shared this story before, but I'll share it now, just as a kind of prelude to this thing, which is the time that I decided, back in an old job where we were going through bankruptcy, no fault of my own.
Such a good story.
So things are going crazy. As an executive, I spent a lot of time dealing with this bankruptcy thing. And I just didn't have enough time. I was working till midnight sometimes. I just didn't have enough time. So I figured, I looked at my calendar. What can I do away with or cut back?
Yeah.
Well, of course, I'm not that smart. So I said, oh, look at that. I got these weekly O3s. Let me cut them back to once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I will tell you.
50% time saves.
50% time saves. Right? Oh, flipping awesome. What a disaster that was.
Happens all
what
the time.
An absolute disaster it was. All the benefits, not all, 80% of the benefits that I had been getting as a function of doing one-on-ones, and there are a lot of benefits, dudes, if you're not doing it already, they just disappeared. I mean, people were coming to, you know.
Oh, then they're paying you like
crazy. Me all the time about what's going on. And in my great wisdom to do this, like the most important thing we do with folks is communicate, to cut back communications during a bankruptcy. Like, oh my God. So anyways, folks, please don't judge me. Don't judge me.
You know, that's a great point. You essentially did a nice job of contrasting two competing priorities, which is communication and workload.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And what we've discovered, I certainly was surprised by it, and I don't really like it, but I know the data are overwhelming, and so it's almost like saying, I don't like gravity. Well, don't test it, because it'll work.
It'll work every time.
And one of the principles is communication is the single most important thing we do with our teams. And those people who don't like communication, look, it's okay. You can still be a great manager. You're just going to have to be outside of your comfort zone for a while. The question is, do you want to be yourself or do you want to have good results?
Yeah, your ineffective self.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
Your comfortable, ineffective self.
Yeah. And this is like saying, well, you know, I want to be me. Okay. But, you know, I remember years ago, I was helping an executive coach a more junior executive. And the junior person who he was coaching, and I was coaching him on how to coach this guy. He says, the junior guy says he wants to get a promotion and to go to our overseas office in Hong Kong. I said, that seems reasonable. I've seen his resume. You know, there's things he needs to do. He says, yeah, but he's not willing to do them. I said, well, how do you know that? He says, well, I've been trying to coach him, and it's that old, you know, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. And I said, well, tell him that. And he said, what do you mean? I said, sit him down and say, look, I want to help you. I think you're capable of getting there. But you and I both agree logically. And if you want, you can go talk to HR. You can go talk to my boss. There's no way you're going to get that role without filling this gap on your resume. And I've been trying now for 3 or 4 months to help you fill it, and you're not willing to do it. Now, look, if you want the role, you got to do this. Okay. If you don't want it, it's fine. Okay. If you don't want to do that thing, close the gap, that's fine too. but stop complaining about what you don't have if you're not willing to do the work. Same thing with communication. Gee, I wish this managing job was easier. Well, you could communicate more with your team. Yeah, I don't want to do that. No, okay. Stop complaining. You know, just stop complaining.
That applies to so much stuff. Yeah, it's just,
yeah.
There's a lot of wisdom there.
Yeah.
Okay, so people are going to push back on O3. If you're doing O3s or you want to do O3s, and God, I hope you do, your folks are going to push back, unfortunately. And we think we owe you some answers or how to approach that with your directs.
Yeah, 16 years since our first one-on-one cast, we decided we'd answer some questions. I'm just kidding, guys. If you don't know, if you're a relatively new listener, we've covered lots of topics that people say, please help me do, you know, answer these questions and these questions, these questions. And Mike, where this came from, this particular cast was, for those of you who hadn't heard, things are starting to open up. It's May of 2021, the year after, the year that will not be named with a number, the annus horribilis. And I had to travel. We were going to two cities, Minneapolis and Portland, as it happens, that were actually open for business in a way that was useful for us. There were some cities we could have gone to, but they said the presenter and all the attendees have to wear masks and you can only have five people. But Portland and Minneapolis were relatively open, and so we could have bigger groups, and we did. And I wasn't required to wear a mask. And you might think that I'm a non-mask wearer, but let me just tell you, all you have to do is see a picture of a high school girl wearing a mask trying to run across the finish line in first place and collapsing from lack of oxygen. I can assure you, I may not be a high school girl. I may not be running the 400 meters, but presenting is hard work. And presenting with a mask would be nearly impossible, certainly for the effective communicator conference. Anyways, it happens. I was in Portland and Minneapolis, and I felt that it was appropriate for me as the owner to go rather than asking Kate or Sarah to go. And while I was there, I was refreshed with all of the kinds of questions that first-time learners, even people who have listened to podcasts, ask about one-on-ones. And I had a moment of thinking, gosh, when are these ever going to go away? And it was a classic academic creep moment, right? I mean, I have been teaching this stuff for 30 years, and I keep getting smarter and keep learning from other people and studying and gathering data and so on. And the folks who come to us are learning for the first time. So the gap between me and them continues to grow. And I admit, guys, at times you'll probably hear some annoyance in my voice. It's because I'm old, and I want everybody to reap the benefits of what we recommend. But I really am, as I like to tell people when they meet me in person, I'm actually a nice guy. And I just said, you know, I got to start covering some of this stuff. I got to cover these, you know, I need to put words into these managers' mouths who are trying so hard to do better, to serve the organization so it can serve society, to take care of their team, to deliver better results. And yet they've got maybe one or two people on the team just complaining and moaning. I don't want to do that. I want to do my monthly. I don't think we have to do these at all. Nobody's ever done this with me before. So that's why we're doing this cast. So let me give you our outline, folks. Sorry, that was a long sort of soliloquy there. So we've got seven recommendations, most of which have speeches associated with them, or at least verbalizations you can use in answering some of the questions you'll get or pushback and resistance you'll get. The first bit of guidance is fundamental, and you got to learn it, folks. It's true of almost everything. We just recently had a cast called Zero Week where we addressed it yet again, and that's brief your people first. If you're having resistance to your efforts to roll out one-on-ones and you didn't brief your people, you need go no further than right there. And you need to go back and brief people.
Yeah, people the love second, surprises, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so good. I want people with power over me to hide things from me and at the last minute let me know what I'm going to have to
right.
do.
That's or just never tell me and just like
yeah, just
make me figure out what they're doing and the purpose of why are they doing it.
The other thing I like them to do is to have a piece of work that they know I need to do like on Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon, but it's a little uncomfortable to have the conversation, so they wait until Friday afternoon to give it to me. That's always fun. It's good.
I wouldn't want to stew on it and work on it during the week. I got all weekend.
Thank you. Please may I have another. Second thing, don't overreact. And as Mike said, resistance is normal. And we'll talk about that. Weekly is what the data support. Monthly is a bad idea. A lot of people ask for monthly. They ask for monthly more often than they ask for biweekly. The time commitment is minimal, and we want you to have words to be able to talk about that. Let's face it, weekly is how we accomplish work, not monthly, not biweekly. And having different frequencies among different team members, which some people ask for, they can do weekly, but I want monthly, that creates problems.
Okay, the first one, which has got to be the most important, folks.
Yeah, it's huge.
When you're going to do something like one-on-ones, just imagine the scenario. You're sitting at your desk, and like a lot of people, you might be a little bit uncomfortable. How am I doing? Am I doing well? Your boss probably doesn't give you a lot of feedback, so you're thinking, am I in trouble? And your boss says, hey, why don't you just show up to my office once a week, 2 o'clock Tuesday, and we'll just talk a little bit. No big deal.
Right. Or, the way I've said it in the field is, imagine your boss comes to you one day and say, hey, can we visit for a minute? Sure. Look, I'd like to start meeting with you privately every week at a scheduled time. And I do that. And that's as far as you have to get into that story. And people are like, oh my God.
Oh my God, right.
Yeah. Or the other one that's good. It's 10 o'clock on a Monday. And your boss comes, or Tuesday, it doesn't really matter. And your boss comes by your desk and say, hey, listen, come by and see me before you go home today. End of the day. We need to talk. Now, what have we just done to the next 6 hours of productivity? We're doomed. And what we know is, from anecdotal evidence, not data, but lots of anecdotes over the years, there is no one who will wait to 4 or 5 o'clock. No one.
Right.
They'll be in the office at 1 or 2.
And they're going crazy, right? They're just going nuts.
Oh, and then just to keep things light, they go in, they sit down in the boss's office, and they said, hey, I have a minute now. Is now good? And the boss says, sure. Okay. We don't have to do it at the end of the day. And he sits down, and boss says, how's it going? Doing good. How's your weekend? How's Project X? Did you get that thing with the thing on the other thing and so on? And now the direct has gone from panic to just literally, I can't deal with this anymore. And then it turns out to be a relatively minor thing. And here's the funny thing. Everyone laughs at that, but no one seems to think that their people feel the same way about them. You know, oh, Mark, I don't get my boss. He's not, he doesn't communicate with me. Rah, 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 rah. Me and my people, though, we finish each other's sentences. Then I go down and talk to their people. Hey, Mark, I got to tell you, our boss, she doesn't communicate with us. But man, me and my people, we communicate.
Oh, yeah, like, we're tight.
That math just doesn't work. Just doesn't, anyway. Okay, so brief first. Look, folks, almost all of our guidance is about changing how we managers do our jobs, recommendations on how you can improve. One way to think broadly or to characterize or categorize these changes that we're recommending you make is there are changes we recommend that are about the way we do our managerial work and the work of the organization. And then there are even more specific changes to how we manage our team members. Changes to the way we do work are things like how we run meetings, how we plan communications, how we prepare and deliver performance reviews, how we create career relationships, how we relate to our boss, right? But those changes we make to how we manage our directs, one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, delegation, career guidance, performance reviews, stuff like that, these changes are almost always going to get some resistance. Look, the other ones will too when you start changing things, but these, when you start getting in people's kitchen, yeah, they're going to pay attention. And what we've learned over the years is any change we make to how we manage our directs will always be harder and take longer if we don't take the time to brief our team about what we're doing before we do it. And I've actually said that in CAS, and we have an entire CAS for it. It's one of Orson's laws. Never introduce a change to how you manage your team without first taking the time to introduce that change to them before you make it. And look, in my estimation, the biggest shortcut managers take when they start O3s is to not brief. The second biggest one, by the way, is not scheduling them. Say, well, we'll do a couple of weeks and see if it works, and then we'll start scheduling them. But of course, all that does is lower people's investment into the process. Now, look, many managers don't find out about one-on-ones from us, and so they don't know the value of briefing. But the fact is, lack of briefing leads to greater pushback, and the most frequent pushback to O3s is about frequency. So that's sure. what managers who don't brief hear. And so if you're somebody who's coming to us for the first time and you've heard what we said about one-on-ones, and maybe you haven't listened to one of the thousand casts we have that address the issue of briefings, then fine. Perhaps your first episode or effort regarding one-on-ones was abortive in some way, and that's okay. It happens. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yeah, why would it be surprising? I mean, your folks are busy. Let's assume your folks are busy, and you're going to ask for 30 minutes of their time every single week. As we'll talk about later, that's not a great deal amount of time,
but regardless,
they think it is. It feels like it. And if they don't understand the value of it and why you're doing it, why would they not push back?
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else. We have a cast about the Horseman Middleman test. And part of the reason I'm doing this cast, part of the reason I wrote this cast and Mike and I are doing it is because people forget that managers forget that they have a boss, and so they're a direct, and you can understand how your directs feel simply by asking yourself how you feel relative to your boss and what he or she does. But if you're a manager, the gap between you and your boss is a little smaller than the gap between you and your directs, if your directs are individual contributors, because they haven't walked in the shoes of a manager, most likely. And I tell managers this all the time. I say, would you refuse a meeting that your boss asked you to have on a weekly basis? No, of course I wouldn't. I wouldn't dream of it. And so the Horseman Middleman rule is never tolerate from your directs that which you would not visit upon your boss. The organization has already said that your behavioral set, your assumptions, your tendencies are useful to them, more useful. They want you influencing more people. So when you ask your directs to do something, you shouldn't have to tolerate, and I know shouldn't and tolerate, there's probably a better way to say that, but Mike and I are just regular guys talking about management. You shouldn't have to tolerate somebody doing something to you that you wouldn't do to your boss. But my point is, many of you know it does happen. And the fact that there is going to be resistance doesn't mean that the idea is bad. It just means as managers, as people who have relationships inside the organization, we're going to have to figure out how to be persuasive. And role power is really not persuasive. It's coercive. And so that's what this cast is about, is trying to give you some persuasive assistance. Now, I'll tell you something else. Not briefing your people, even though you may not have known about briefing, you may have thought, I'm just going to go start this, and you didn't brief your folks. It's fine. What you don't realize is not briefing your people and just kind of rolling them out ad hoc shows you as not confident. Now, you say, wait, I was pretty confident. I said, yeah, I agree. You probably were pretty confident, but I'm not saying you weren't confident. I'm saying it shows you to be not confident. Your directs get a skewed apprehension about you because you didn't brief. Because look, if you brief, you're seen to have thought things through. You also go on record saying, this is what we're going to do. Not briefing your people can be perceived, whether you meant it or not, that you're doing something you really don't believe in. Now, you might say, no way, I really believe in these things. Well, then why aren't you willing to brief? Then why aren't you willing to sit down and answer questions in advance? Why aren't you willing to go through a process? Why are you saying, let's try it? Right? That's not how somebody who believes in something behaves. They go all in.
That's how somebody behaves when they're not confident that they can answer the questions.
Exactly. Yeah. And you might say to yourself, well, I am confident. I say, I get that. I respect that. I believe you. I know it to be true. It doesn't matter how confident you are if you're perceived to be not confident, because that's what leads to resistance, at least in part. And look, there are those managers who believe that if we brief, we increase the pressure on ourselves as managers to do what we say we're going to do. And they believe that not briefing gives us an out in the event things don't work out. Not briefing decreases our risk or our exposure in the event that things don't work out. But guys, gals, directs know that. Directs who don't like change will be more likely to resist when we don't brief. Folks, if you haven't heard, on our 16th anniversary, actually close to our 16th anniversary, on June 30th, of this year, we will be making permanent the changes we have made to our license regarding including some of our digital products with it. Those of you who have been with us for a while know that in light of the pandemic and what we thought were going to be serious business disruptions, and we were proven correct, we decided to include the interviewing series, effective relationships, first job fundamentals, so on, in with a license, just so that you didn't have to spend any more money than you absolutely had to, because we recommend you save money in times of crisis. And we have decided to make many of those changes permanent. If you're already a licensee, those changes will happen automatically. In the background, you don't need to do a thing other than, you know, just hear from us. We're happy to serve you. And if you aren't a licensee, hopefully this addition of $230 worth of value will help you consider becoming an annual licensee.
Okay. Next point. When they push back, which they might do, like, don't overreact. It's not, it's not an insurrection, right?
Yeah. In fact, it's funny. I learned something a couple months ago. I was reading a book and I realized that there are some pieces of guidance we give that are inherently destined to fail. And one of them is don't overreact.
I was really worried when you said there's a bunch of guidance we give that's destined to fail.
No. And I'll give you a great example of one. Don't overreact, because nobody thinks they overreact. No, I just reacted. Yeah. So my recommendation is not don't overreact, underreact. Okay. Whenever you make a change to how you manage, there's going to be pushback, right? It's normal. And briefing reduces it significantly, but it doesn't eliminate it. Okay. You're not, who's the guy that, you're not Zig Ziglar. Okay. Don't assume. This is important. Don't assume that the pushback is specifically addressing what you're doing. Any change you make, other than maybe big raises for everybody, is going to elicit some negativity. When you overreact, when you get angry, when you respond a little too quickly, when you get nervous, it sends a message you're not confident about what you're doing. On the other hand, when you underreact, that comes across as the confidence born of preparation. And I didn't quite want to get more into the details here about underreacting, because I want you to have an underreacting tone when you deliver some of these set pieces that we're going to walk you through. So when you get resistance, don't worry. It's normal. It's not about you. It's not about the idea. It's always about the resistor. Be at peace about it. And deliver your answer at peace. When your directs escalate, you immediately want to de-escalate. I think we have a podcast called The Medicine Ball. When somebody pushes back, it's like they're throwing a medicine ball to you. Well, if I'm throwing a ping pong ball to you, you can catch it. And you don't have to move. You can reach out and grab it out of the air. When I throw a medicine ball at you, you're going to have to step back. And so when you get pushback, the way to handle it is like a medicine ball. Don't disagree. Say, okay, well, I can hear that. I understand that. I respect where you're coming from. As opposed to saying you're wrong, which is an attack. Rather, when your directs push forward, you step back. Now, you might say, well, wait, I'm the boss. I should be able to get what I want. Yeah, okay.
And you can. You have a rule. You can.
And
at a price.
And at the end of this conflict, you'll still be the boss. There's no question about that. So don't go around, telling people you're the boss. The amount of role power you have is inversely proportional to how often you think you have to use it. Mm-hmm. The more you use it, the less valuable it is.
Yeah, and as an exercise, we don't have time to get into it here, but if you go back to some of our older podcasts where we talk about behaviors, right, and you're confused about underreact, just think about the things you might do in a situation. Like, for example, you might raise your voice. Well, underreact would be don't raise your voice or lower your voice.
Lower your voice.
You could speak faster. You might do that when you react. Well, slow your speech, right? I mean, so just think about the behaviors that, play a movie in your head about somebody who's overreacting and do the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. A good one is if you're in a meeting, don't point at the person who's resisting. Put your hands behind your back.
You don't do the FedEx pointing thing.
That's so good. Yeah, that's not just pointing. That guy had special skills.
He did.
Yeah. So our guidance here, and we'll give you a modern in the last year of Manager Tools, I think our watchword, our tagline, our favorite phrase is, when it comes to people resisting, stay frosty.
Stay frosty. Okay. So you might have some high C's in your organization. And if so, you're lucky. People who like data, right? Detailed folks.
Yeah.
And the great thing is there's data support that weekly works better.
Yeah. When people say, hey, monthly, you know, I prefer monthly. I prefer biweekly. Yeah, okay. I prefer this too, but the data don't support it, right? So every time we've tested one-on-ones, folks, scheduled weekly Manager Tools one-on-ones outperform every other implementation. Unscheduled, biweekly, ad hoc, monthly, we've tested every one of those flavors. And for the record, I promise you, the moment you do that, well, not in tech companies, not in universities, not in government. Yes, in all those things. No matter what the country, the industry, the structure, the size, or the form of the organization, or even the level of the manager, the only place that stands out as a little different is CEOs, because, you know, CEOs. No matter what, managers who conduct scheduled weekly one-on-ones outperform managers doing any other type of O3. Now, to be clear, if you're new to us, we measure performance based on how organizations measure managers' performance, which is results and retention. So let's get to some of the verbiage you might choose to use. And of course, the great thing is if you're a licensee, you can come and get the show notes and copy and paste this speech and then rewrite it, edit it a little bit, and practice it a little bit before you go and give your briefing. So here's what you might say when somebody says, I don't like weekly, okay? Or why do we have to do these weekly? You could start with, good question. It's a fair question. And again, that's, by the way, a classic way to show underreaction. So look, you're right that weekly one-on-ones will take up four times as much time as, say, monthly one-on-ones would. But here's the thing. There's an awful lot of data to support weekly one-on-ones. When weekly one-on-ones have been tested against bi-weeklies and monthlies and unscheduled or ad hoc, weekly one-on-ones outperform all the others. Every time, in every industry, every company size, on every continent, and every type of organization, for every level of manager, in controlled studies, weekly one-on-ones led to greater improvements in results and retention. And just for the record, if you don't know, we're talking big studies, thousands of managers at a time. And if you want the details about the data, I'll share it with you. And folks, what you would do with that is you would share with them your license. If you're a licensee, your license allows you to share our show notes with your directs. Why not? Why not tell them what we've told you so they'll know what you know? Why not shorten the, you know, why not? What is that? I think it's an arc, right? When if you have a circle, if you have a curve and then you cut across the curve like a shortcut, isn't that called an arc?
It is.
It's not a tangent. It's an arc, right?
Or a chord,
yeah.
Or?
Yeah, chord. That's what it is. Chord. Very nice. Yeah. So we're just going to give a chord. We're going to go from A to B the shortest possible way as opposed to taking the long way around. So you can share our show notes with them from the cast we have called the Manager Tools Data One-on-Ones, which is page after page. It must be 30 pages long.
Cool. Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. We'll continue on this topic next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.